Hello and welcome to the Saxo market call on Wednesday, the 19th of January, 2022. And we talked about in the podcast yesterday that energy and the cooker pressure had been turned on with rising oil prices and pretty significant moves in the long end of the yield curve in the US. And also this morning we have bunds turning positive, but you can talk about that later, Althea. The impact is quite significant in technology stocks. We have the Nasdaq 100, as you can see in slide two, pushing closer to that 15,000, very big round number there. But even more importantly, the 200-day moving average is coming up very close to it. And we have a lot of retail investors in this part of the market and newcomers, I should say. So I would be surprised if a break below this 200-day moving average, which would be the first time since April 2020, could spark some renewed selling pressure in technology stocks. We're down around 8.5% from the peak in Nasdaq 100. We are down less than 4% in the MSCI World as of yesterday's close. So we are not in a proper correction yet in the total equity market. So a lot of the noise and market commentary is coming out screaming about equities going lower. It's very much still predominantly a phenomenon in the bubble stocks and the technology sector, which are responding correctly to the higher interest rates in the US. So we have to talk about these interest rates because a lot of things are going on, and it's going to be a very important year in terms of where we end on inflation and where the market wants to price nominal interest rates. You have here on slide three, you're talking about the 20-year US Treasury auction. Take us through what you're seeing in the Treasury market.
Well, Peter, first of all, this morning we have seen the 10-year US Treasury yields testing resistance at 1.9% in the chart in slide three. I didn't highlight this level. I believe that 1.95% is going to be stronger resistance level. However, the sentiment, it's pretty negative in US Treasury yields. And it's quite confusing because yesterday we had an Empire manufacturing survey that was very weak. It actually showed a contraction for the month of January. And realistically, we should have seen actually the opposite happening in the meaning long-term yields dropping at this point in time. But the market is really, really focused on the hiking agenda of the Federal Reserve. It is now pricing four interest rate hikes for this year. And it is also considering the fact that the Fed is going to combine interest rate hikes with balance sheet reductions in order not to let the yield curve to flatten further. So definitely today, the focus is going to be on the 20-year US Treasury auction. This tenor is not liked by the market. It was reintroduced after the pandemic to meet the Treasury financing needs. So it could add definitely weakness on the long part of the yield curve. And what everybody's asking themselves is whether we are going to see the 10 years testing that 2% level. However, as I highlighted also before in other podcasts, the problem we are having here is that the higher yields go, the more compressing pressures there is going to be on the long part of the yield curve because Euro-hedged U.S. treasuries still provide 100 basis points over the bund, even though today, as you've mentioned at the beginning of the call, they broke above zero for the first time since 2019.
All right. So let's look elsewhere because the rising interest rates, we talked about it yesterday, Ole, is that a good thing or is it a bad thing for gold? And you have some slides on that on slide four to take us through that.
Yeah, well, it obviously should be a bad thing because we have this correlation that we'd had for a long time between real yields and gold. Real yields has risen now by close to around 0.5% since the start of the year. So that's a massive jump within a short period of time. And during the same time, gold has traded down by less than 1%. So there are other factors at play right now. And as Althea mentioned, two of them basically derives from your world because the increased uncertainty in the stock market, I think, is attracting some renewed haven demand or diversification demand. At the same time, if the trajectory that the market is currently pricing in for interest rate hikes, we're now exceeding four hikes this year, or the probability of four hikes this year, that potentially carries the risk of the U.S. economy, the wheels coming off the U.S. economy, and that is also a risk the market potentially taking a look at basically a policy mistake from the central bank over time. But yesterday's move, again, price action wise, it's pretty boring. As you can see here on slide four, we're not doing much. We're stuck between 1800 and 1830. But yesterday's recovery following the weak number was a spike in silver. And that basically means that the gold silver ratio has dropped below 77 this morning for the first time since late November. So potentially just keep an eye on silver for some direction from here. But in the short term, the upside seems very limited, because as long as these interest rates continue to rise, and it's creating a great deal of headwind. So just astonished for now that we're actually holding these levels that well.
All right, and Althea, I mean, one of the things that we have lived with in Europe for a long time in many places are these close to zero, or in some cases even negative yields. And the Bund yield has been negative for the entire pandemic, but it seems like there is finally something happening here in the today. So we're turning positive, and I'm just wondering, I mean, so we have a current spread between the Treasury and the Bunds of almost 2 percentage points. I mean, do you think would that spread narrow, or could it even increase? I mean, because as we talked about in the internal call, the inflation outlook is very different, right? The labor market is very tight in the US, whereas in Europe, we have a lot of slack. I'm just wondering how you see that, and what you expect for Bund yields to do going forward.
Well, Peter, first of all, bonds are tightly correlated to U.S. treasuries. So in the past, we have seen as U.S. treasury yields were rising, also bond yields were rising, and this is what is happening right now. It is true there is this divergence in terms of central bank monetary policies, but we have to keep in mind that the ECB is not going to hike interest rates this year, because probably higher yields in the euro area are going to do a lot of the heavy lifting. Yields are going to rise because the US Treasury yields are rising, but also because the ECB is going to withdraw stimulus. There is the PEP program that finishes in March. There is going to be a transition period where the APP is going to be strengthened, but the market is prepared for the stimulus to be withdrawn by the end of this year. And also the new German government is going to increase fiscal spending, which means more bond issuance. So it means that bond yields will need to catch up, and the ECB might not to be as aggressive as for example, the Federal Reserve could be. And the two markets, the two in terms of yields, they are going to rise more or less at the same pace. And that spread that you mentioned might remain stable in the long run. But the big focus here, when we look at bond yields above 0%, is how they are going to impact the cost of funding of other countries in the EU. And the big problem we have is that it's going to increase volatility and sensitivity of those countries that have a higher beta, such, for example, as Italy. And Italy right now is even going through a kind of a political crisis, because they are looking for a new president of the Republic, and some politicians are pointing to Draghi. So if Draghi moves to become the next president of the Republic, there could be a political value that vacuum that is going to push towards the next election. So basically, what we are talking here is a repeat of what we have seen in 2018, and the BTP bond spread might spike above 200 basis points.
Right. One of the markets I'm watching with these rising nominal yields, of course, is also the Bitcoin market. It's trading just above 41,000. More weakness to come. We've down for almost 70,000 level to 40,000 in the matter of 2 months. I think the potential that's the Achilles heel for this market if we get more positive bond yields around the world offering an alternative in fiat currencies. Ole, before we go to equities, there's a lot to talk about on equities. We have to go to one of the main underlying drivers of inflationary pressures, but also in general, you know, the potential angle that could slow down the economy and I don't know, maybe, you know, we cause a maybe cause a policy mistake if the Fed is too aggressive while oil prices are running amok. There was some surveys recently that showed that, you know, there's a very tight correlation between Biden's approval rating and the gasoline prices in the US. So this is very important for many things. And you have on slide six some perspectives here on Brent.
Yeah, just to talk about Biden first. If we look at the seasonal chart on the gasoline prices in the U.S., then the current level is clearly one that's that indicate that they're going to get a bloody nose at the midterm elections later this year, because gasoline prices are very high for this time of year relatively to recent history. So they are obviously anxious to see prices come down. They've been doing what the utmost to support a weaker prices by releasing strategic reserves, but we can obviously see right now is having no major impact on the price. We are seeing a fresh 70 high overnight in the Brent crude market, just drifting a little bit lower after hitting that high. There was an explosion on a pipeline attracting some headlines between Iraq and Turkey that has now been repaired. It will resume activity today, so that was a short-lived one. So we basically left with a market now that has rallied very, very strongly since beginning of the year and since December last year. And that basically means we have entered into overbought territory. So we are looking for a pullback in this market sooner or later because it's basically needed because it cannot carry on in a straight line as it's been doing now for quite a while. But the underlying fundamentals, they do remain strong. And I think the key the Achilles heel, as you mentioned, is really in the oil market right now that OPEC Plus are struggling to deliver the barrels that they have promised through their quotas, and that is creating this tightness in the market, which is having a profound impact on the price pressures and bond yields elsewhere. So the focus today, by the time this podcast is out, we would have had the monthly EIA report, and we're going to look for their latest take on the supply and demand situation. They were quite oil bearish last month when they looked for surpluses in the first and the second quarter. Let's see if they have been reduced, which I'm sure they have been, but that could potentially set the stage for the tone for the rest of the day. But for now, it's a strong rally, but we need some consolidation, yeah.
All right, let's move to some equity stories. So sit down and take a cup of coffee because a lot of things are happening. First of all, yesterday we had almost $70 billion bid from Microsoft on Activision Blizzard, which has a very popular gaming franchise. It's a very profitable company. It's growing, has grown a lot in the past couple of years during the pandemic, of course, like all other gaming companies, but the outlook is also quite strong. There's been this recent scandal of horrible working culture at Activision Blizzard, and part of this deal is that the CEO will be leaving the company, and it has also impacted the price of Activision Blizzard. So I think in many ways this was really, you know, a dove that came to Microsoft here. I think they're getting this asset and much more strength in the gaming industry for actually an attractive price. The market was pricing Microsoft down a little bit, I think a couple of percent. So that I would say the market is quite neutral to the deal, but I think the compounding of this deal will be quite massive for Microsoft. And Activision Blizzard is running at a plus 40% operating margin, so it won't have a big impact, negative impact on free cash flows either for Microsoft. So very interesting to see. And Sony's share price in Japanese trading was down 13%. I think, as I said on the internal call, I think potentially it's a little bit of an overreaction because I don't think the overlap is that massive between an Activision acquisition and the PS5, the PlayStation 5, which is just seeing soaring demand. So I think Sony will be all right, but well, it was an excuse to sell and probably take some profits for Sony shareholders. And also note this headline from Bloomberg that a lot of people are saying that this acquisition from Microsoft is a bid on the metaverse. I have a hard time seeing that, but maybe I'll be proving wrong on that one. In terms of stocks to watch today, I will point your attention to Burberry and Richemont here in Europe. So both stocks are up. They are especially Richemont, the Swiss luxury maker, is just blasting growth consensus estimates and just showing that the luxury market is coming into a higher gear here. It's really doing extraordinary well. And that's despite the weakness we're seeing in China. So I think that bodes pretty well for this industry this year. And then you have a lot of luxury makers in the European indices. So watch that one. I won't comment on Microsoft. I just did. I'll talk about ASML in a few seconds. So, and then I'll just point the attention to Chinese technology stocks and Sea Limited, which is it's a US-listed Singaporean-based company, as we talked about before. They have been trending down a lot because of Tencent getting rid of their share prices and also general fatigue in technologies with rising rates, etc. But there's some new regulation coming into China now, saying that the Cyberspace Administration of China will be allowed in the future. This is a rumor, but they expect it to go through, that they will be allowed to reject deals for large technology companies with revenue above 10 billion yuan or 100 million users. And that's basically trying to prevent technology companies from creating a huge spider web from their excessive profits into other industries, which is seen as an anti-competitive behavior. So watch that. And then we should have put in ARK Innovation ETF. It's down 51% from the peak now. It's by far the biggest drawdown the fund has ever had. So Cathie Wood is definitely in new territory, and it's going to be super interesting what happened in today's trading with rates going even higher. But a little bit of a positive angle here on technology. So ASML is the world leader in lithography machines that are used to create these semiconductors. So they have a, I think, 70% market share. They're posting a little bit weaker Q4 revenue figures here for Q4. There was a small, or not a small, but there was a fire, factory fire in Berlin that has probably had some impact. And also global supply constraints have had an impact. And then the initial headline was that there was a big miss on ASML in Q1, but actually it was not a miss because there was a 2 billion euros that instead of being recognized in Q1 would be spread over the coming quarters as some tests have to be finished. And they, more importantly, they put out a fiscal year 2022 guidance, which are looking for revenue to be up 20%. And that's 2 percentage points above consensus. And as a result, the share price is up 1%. And that's despite weakness in the Nasdaq 100 futures. So maybe if this is a small sign that the technology stocks, if you deliver, can actually draw a line in the sand here in terms of declines. And then I've noted two things as well, which you can see on slide 9 from the CEO's comments on Bloomberg TV. So currently the semiconductor demand is 40 to 50% above the current maximum capacity. So that gives you an idea of how much we need to expand capacity to meet demand. And then it will take around 2 to 3 years to get a balance between supply and demand. And in the meantime, Every company in the semiconductor industry will be enjoying pricing power and strong cash flows because of that. Sorry for the long spiel on equities, but a lot of things are going on. That's usually how it is in the earnings season. Ole, maybe to get a break from my voice, you should take over and talk a little bit about the macro calendar today.
Yeah, it's CPI day today in Europe. So far, we've had CPI out from the UK and from Germany. UK basically beat estimates. Came in at 5.4 versus expectations for 5.2, and in Germany they basically was in line with expectation. Inflation rising 5.3% year on year, so that stayed unchanged from November as well. Elsewhere, we, as I mentioned, we got the monthly oil market report from the IEA. A lot of focus given the importance of the oil market rally we've seen recently. Some house data from the UK. Then we got the CPI also from Canada later today. So, these are the main takeaways from today. So, potentially not a market mover in the on the financial calendar as we had yesterday with the US numbers, but still, the market is obviously looking for clues and looking for direction right now.
All right, I think that's a wrap for today's podcast, and we'll be back tomorrow. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Saxo Market Call. For feedback and questions, reach out to us on Twitter @SaxoMarketCall or by email, marketcall@saxobank.com.